Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Genesis, from the 45th chapter, verses 3 through 15. Listen for the word of our Lord. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to perceive for you a remnant of on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it is not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son, Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since you are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. This is the ending of a very long passage of going into this book of Genesis. And it has much to do, and much of Genesis is all about family life, in case you hadn't noticed over the years. And the first thing we all know about family life is that families be crazy. They're all crazy. All families are crazy. So when you come to see me to talk about your family, you can leave that part out and just jump right into what you need to do. Because everybody walks in and says, "My family is the craziest family ever." Well, I'm telling you right here in Genesis, there is a family that you can't come close to. Not me, not my wife. We've been around the world and we know you see a lot. But starting with Abraham and Mary to Sarah, who had Isaac, and all the things that they did wandering around trying not to get killed. And it's just, you read it and you think, oh, this is crazy. Isaac, the son, marries Rebekah, has twin sons, Esau and Jacob. And talk about crazy. One was grabbing the heel of the other as they were coming out of the womb. They started being crazy before they were even born. Jacob steals his brother's birthright from his father by tricking his father. You think your family's messed up? Rebekah, the mother, sends Jacob to her brother's house because he's afraid that her oldest son, Esau, is going to kill Jacob. He said he is going to. Therefore, he gets out. Jacob goes to her brother's home and lives there and does well. And guess what? Jacob marries. But wait, crazier still. The woman he woke up with was not the woman he was married to, because the father-in-law switched people so that he would take the oldest daughter, and he worked 7 more years to get the next one. And if you think that was a sane household, not even close. Not even close. They fought. The two sisters fought continually about who could have the most babies. I mean, really. babies are nice, but do you really want to, you know, have more than everybody else? It was at that time some sign of your fertility and how great you are, and it helped when you can have lots more people serving, you know, out there and watching the herds and all that kind of stuff. Jacob ends up, because they were so at each other trying to outdo the other, he ends up with 12 sons, one of whom is Joseph. And Joseph and his brother Benjamin came from the woman that, this gets really tough to call, you do this, I need a scorecard here. They came from Rachel, whom Jacob really loved and wanted to marry to begin with, but he ended up with Leah, but he seemed to then be loving of those two children more because they were Rachel's children. Another wacky thing to have in your family is when you start choosing who gets to be the best and the parents jump in and help out. Just telling you, you young guys, ladies, that's not how you raise kids. You try to love them all, work real hard at it, and you got to work with the facial stuff too. That's another sermon. Four generations of this family have been whacked out, totally. And we can talk all we want about, well, it was a long time ago, they were different then, and no, they're crazy. They're humans. They're just like us. Crazy humans who have all the emotions in the world, who have all the thoughts in the world, all the insecurities in the world, everything. And these people are in the first chapter of the Bible. Now, if you're writing a book, that's kind of good. You get everybody's attention right off the bat. We got a bunch of crazy people in this book, so we can go from there, right? But if you're trying to find out about God, this is crazy too. Why, God? Why do you go through all this? Can't people be like Leave It to Beaver? I mean, I'm sorry, you guys don't know Leave It to Beaver. It was really good in my day, and everybody got along fine, and the father always wore a coat and tie to dinner at night, unless he took the coat off and put on a sweater. It was great. It was the full place of family in America in the 1950s. Everyone was perfect. Nothing wrong. Not really. Real life was right here in Genesis. It's the real life with a bad microphone and all sorts of other things. So Joseph was the favored son. And he was also blessed by God to have the ability to hear and to understand his dreams and the dreams that God gave him. Now, he wasn't real silent about that with his brothers. He had 11 others, and they got mad at him because it seemed like Dad loved him the best. He even got the coat with many colors. If you've ever seen the musical, it's really great. Made somebody, you know, thousands of years later rich. Jacob, the father, lifted up Joseph, and therefore he had 10, and Joseph and Benjamin, and therefore he had 10 brothers who really disliked him. Now some of that is his fault. He was very proud. He used to tell on the brothers when they weren't doing the work they were supposed to be doing. Yes, he was that brother. He ends up, his siblings have had enough of him. They put him in a pit and then pull him out and sell him to slave traders. And Joseph gets taken to Egypt. And lo and behold, not much better there. He's a slave in a household. The woman wants something to do with him, and something happened. He runs away, and yet the woman says, he tried to do something to me. He goes to prison. And Joseph, at this point, has got to be thinking, what did I do to deserve all this? He's in jail in a foreign country, and he has to be wondering why. Why me, God? Why am I here? And boy, then you know, questions like that, you suddenly start looking for how you're going to get even. You wait. If I ever see those guys again, I'm going to get them. Well, fortunately, God is with him. He gets out of jail because he can interpret dreams. And we all know this story, I hope. If you don't, you should read it. It'd be a great movie. He gets out. He becomes the second in command of the whole country of Egypt because he understands that a famine is coming, and he adroitly makes it all work out so that the Egyptian pharaoh got more money. So if you get your boss more money, guess what? You're going to get it promoted. You're going to get a lot more power, and he did. He is now the second person in line in Egypt, in charge of making sure everyone has food as they have saved it, because he knew, Joseph knew that this was going to happen. Guess who shows up? Just when you think life has turned good, he has gotten married. Joseph has been married. He has two sons. He's very happy. As happy as one can be when you were sold into slavery by your brothers. And we have to wonder how many hours he spent laying in a bed, or when he was in the prison cell. And he thought, you wait. One day, I'm going to make them pay. I will get them. You just wait. Or perhaps by the time he was number two in the land of Egypt, which is really great thing, perhaps he had just said, the heck with them. I don't need to worry about them anymore. They'll get their due. I'm doing all of this. Perhaps he was finding a little peace, not getting rid of his hatred, but just more peace because he's not there. And then guess who shows up? The brothers who sold him into slavery. He, if you read the text, can tell that he was very emotional about this. Who wouldn't be? How many times did he think of what they did to him? And there they are, in front of him, trying to buy food so they can stay alive. This really throws him out. This is a difficult thing for him. He can't tell. And this happened again and again as they had to come back to get more food. And this is a great story. Again, just read it yourselves. And then we get to this place, finally, where Joseph finagles around and gets Benjamin, his blood brother from his mother and father, to come to Egypt, and he has to stay. That was the deal. And they did it. And he tells Benjamin, before all of this happens, who he is and what's going on. But when the rest of the sons, the 10 other sons, show up, they're there to give food and to bring home Benjamin. And Joseph says, I'm your brother. I'm your brother, Joseph. Now you can think of the 10 guys right there who were sitting there going, holy cow. That can't be. How did he even know we had a brother named Joseph? How can we know what? No, I am your brother. And the good thing that comes from this is we get to this point. Joseph has obviously done some work. He's had to work through a lot of his bad thoughts, bad emotions about his brothers. About those nights he was in the prison when he wanted to have them thrown into prison. He had to work through this. And if you read the text, it's a really great story because there are times he has to leave the room when he is the high and mighty and working with them to see what's going on. He has to leave the room because he starts crying because all of those bad things that had happened to him come flooding back when they come into the room. You think your family's crazy? Your family's just like everybody else's, just like this. We hold on to so much, to so many things. And Joseph has them all right there in front of his face. The worst things possible. And he has to deal with it. And over the time when he made them go back and forth, I can't imagine how hard it was for him to sit at night with his children and try to think through and deal with what perhaps he had done wrong and what he knew that they had done wrong. He seems to have worked through it. On this return, he says, no one else around, mind you. This was something he did. It was a family affair. And he says, I am your brother. Now there's 10 very frightened people at that room at that point in time. Because he is the most powerful person in Egypt. And perhaps at that time in that part of the world, because Egypt had food. It'd be like gold usually. But Joseph has gotten somewhere. Somehow along the way, he has gotten to a different place. He says, I've left that behind. Don't worry about that. You're fine. How is Dad? Things seem to be great. And they are. But they're great. The brothers have some work to do now. They have to deal with what they did for the first time. They have to go through all of this. But they'll have time when they're out tending sheep when the time comes. And it does eventually. But I can't imagine how great it felt for Joseph to say who he was to the people who tried to take it away from him and yet couldn't. And he held no remorse or any anger toward them at all. Somewhere in all of this, he decided to let it go. To just let it go. It's not mine. I'm looking, I'm seeing, this has all worked out well. I'm fine. I'm not going to carry around my hatred for what happened to me. He had then found something that most of us miss in life, or at least take a lot longer to find it out. He's had that moment, that time when we find that we truly understand how much God loves us. When we get the chance to let go of what other people have done to us, God gives us some big whiff of being free from hurt by others, by being free about knowing what we have done wrong. Because God lets us join in to the unleashing of the change and sin from those around us. It's forgiveness, not forgetting. Not forgetting, but forgiveness. It is in those moments when we forgive ourselves and then forgive others. It is then that we understand Jesus' plea from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We forget what we do, except we really don't. We start to find ways to blame it on others, or perhaps others who have hurt us. But when we carry it around all day, it's like we throw the Bible right back in the face of God. Brothers and sisters, let us let go of the load of sin in our lives, the sins that other people have perpetrated on us, and the sins that we have perpetrated on God. Set yourselves free. Be David. For even after all of this evened out and his father passed away, and the 10 brothers got really nervous again, because maybe he was just being nice to us because of Dad. And you hear the words, if you read them, and he just says, why are you worrying about that? You're fine. It's all gone. If God has forgiven, who are we not to? And the gift is that God lets us forgive right along with him. It's a great story, and honestly, I could do 10 more sermons on the theology of what's going on in here, but the most important thing, the most relevant thing, is that we let go of all the things we cannot change, the things we have done wrong or the things that other people have done wrong to us. That does not mean staying in a difficult situation where people are taking advantage of you, but it means to let go of the feelings and the hurt that you carry around with you. Let it go. And go do some great things for somebody else. Love your neighbor as yourself. And love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Amen.